Coming up on this month's episode of The Candid Connection, Andrew and Ashley talk about things happening in Lansing, especially around oral chemo fairness and the Tobacco Appropriations Act for asking for tobacco prevention funding. We also take a look at what's happening in Washington, D.C. and some of the activities affecting cancer patients here in Michigan and nationwide. This month, we welcome folks from the Next Gen STEP program at Karmanos Cancer Institute, along with kids from our Advocacy Academy program, as we talk about why they engage in advocacy, and we take a deeper dive into how tobacco has really affected their lives as high schoolers. We also take a moment this month to say happy trails to a friend of our show, as a good friend will be moving on to newer and greener pastures. So I'm Andrew Sheppers, along with Ashley Wakefield. This is The Candid Connection, brought to you by Karmanos Cancer Institute and McLaren Healthcare, the largest provider of cancer care and research in the state. Well, it's June. I don't know if you can believe it, but we're actually halfway through 2021. Wow. A lot has happened. I hope folks have gotten vaccinated. Mask restrictions are now starting to lift. I think some hesitation still out there from folks. Certainly. But yeah, happy June, Ashley.
Thank you. Yes, it feels like a whole new world. I feel like every month we're like, guess what? Something's different.
Something's different. We made it. I know. No, it's funny. I was just thinking about that and how May was, at least the end of May, was so warm there for a couple weeks. And I was just like, man, it's already summer.
I know.
That just kind of snuck up on everybody.
And I'm here for it. I love walking out into a warm blanket.
Oh, yes. You know what? Me too. Me too. Or walking into a cool pool, you know?
True. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. So, well, let's get started. We've got actually a lot to go through the show today. Yeah. And I'm really excited about this one because we're going to have youth advocates on today to talk about just kind of why they advocate. But then on the second half of our conversation with them, we're going to talk tobacco.
Yes.
Which, you know, tobacco and youth is kind of a hot topic right now.
Yeah, they definitely offer a different perspective. You know, you don't always know how far removed you are from high school world until you speak to high school. And honestly, these young people, they have some great insight and some really, I think we'll have a really great conversation.
Yes, yes, absolutely. So all that coming up, but why don't we go ahead and hit up on the state updates. Not a lot really going on as we've kind of gotten past Memorial Day here now, and it's all budget all the time. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we've been working with the House and Senate chairs of the budgets, and we've been working on putting in our budget requests. But when the state and the Senate and House fiscal agencies met together with the state treasurer's office in our revenue estimating conference at the end of May, they found out that we actually had more money than we thought, right?
Yes, a lot more money than we thought. So this is really good news, I think, for 2021 in general, especially the season we've just come out of.
Yes, absolutely. So there was about $3.2 billion, which a lot of that, some of that was associated with money that came down from the federal government to deal with COVID. But, you know, our ask in this budget is to ask for an additional $200,000 to really help solidify the quit line here in Michigan. Michigan is, you know, in what we like to call Tobacco Nation. And
not a title we love.
No, no, not at all. Unless, you know, you're from the tobacco side of things. But You know, it's just another reason of why we're having conversation with our youth today about this, just because it is such an issue here in Michigan. But, you know, really looking to ensure that when somebody makes that phone call to the quit line and they want to quit, that somebody's going to be there for them, right?
Right. I mean, that seems like a simple thing, right? Quit line implies someone will be on the other line when you're looking to quit. And tricky enough here in Michigan, as we've, you know, talked about before in previous episodes, but just to kind of recap, is currently where we stand, the quit line is only funded for 10 months out of the year.
Yeah.
So that looks like August and September, because it follows the fiscal year. You know, put us on the same page. And yes, I do know the calendar. But for those 2 months, whether someone is on the other line is up in the air, and the department has to scramble to really keep that open. So we're hoping with this, it seems like, you know, you and I, it's $200,000 is a lot of money, but it's kind of a drop in the bucket when it comes to an overall state budget. And so, I'm feeling pretty good about this ask this year. I don't know. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, it's a great point. I mean, we're looking at a budget that's usually $13 to $14 billion on an annual basis. Yep. And so this truly is a drop in the bucket, but it's going to make such an impact. So I'm actually feeling good about it too. For the first time in a long time, we've had some appropriations asked throughout the years. And so now it's nice to finally see that this may get some attention. So,
and one, if I may, little shout out is to our volunteers who participated in Cancer Action Week this year.
Yes, yes, yes.
Really, they are the rock stars here who brought this ask to everyone's attention.
Oh my gosh, yes, they did.
And lawmakers are well aware of the need.
Yep. So, well, now where we're at, I mean, we've got the rest of June, you know, early back in May, they announced that there was some type of a framework of an agreement between the governor and the legislative leaders. So we may actually have a budget signed in law by the time we get to July 4th. Whew. I may have just jinxed it all. Yeah, but we'll
see. Take it back.
We'll see. So, so watch for that, as we kind of move along here in our next coming episodes. But, Ashley, there's some stuff going on. And if I can remember right, from the Memorial recess break,
that's right,
there was some effort around breast cancer research. Is there a chance you can fill me in a little bit?
Yeah,
about that?
No, absolutely. So again, our advocates and accolades were busy during what we're calling the Memorial Day recess. Mm-hmm. And they contacted their congressional district offices. And basically what they were advocating for is there is a access to breast and cervical cancer screening program.
Okay.
That's the long form. It's all abbreviated. But basically what they're asking for is to support funding for this program. Is a $275 million in the fiscal year 2022 appropriations bills.
Oh, okay.
So this truly is the appropriations budget time of year, on both the state and the federal level for those of us who are, you know, year round. And so they met in, you know, worked and emailed and contacted all of their contacts within the district. And I'm really hopeful that our message was heard and that we'll see a positive outcome.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's great. So if folks are looking for more information, where can they go to go ahead and find more information about that?
If they head to our website, fightcancer.org/MI, if you go up to on the right-hand side, it's like what we do. And it has all the action alerts and things that volunteers can engage with us on those programs, both on the federal and the state level.
And that's great. Again, you see scrolling down here in the bottom of the screen, head to fightcancer.org/MI to get more information about this federal research ask for breast cancer. But other than that, a lot of things have been focusing around some grassroots activity. And if I remember right, it's time for Lights of Hope again.
It is Lights of Hope season. We touched on it briefly last month and their last couple months. But really, this is when things kick into high gear. So we have a lot of exciting things going on. Be looking for a special thing that we're going to have running during the month of July. Yes, right. A little teaser for that. But I know that our advocates far and wide, even beyond Michigan borders, are going to be really excited about it. But our team is just off and running. We have every athlete and deputy that have their Lights of Hope pages. So if you yourself would like to support us in this cause, Andrew's going to have the Michigan Lights of Hope page coming up here. You can donate in honor or memory of somebody who has fought cancer or been a caregiver to someone who has. And we just, every small amount makes a really big impact in our Lights of Hope.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I know if some of you have been a part of a relay before and you've seen the luminaria around the track, this is our form of that luminaria or of that really symbol of respect, mm-hmm. Our ceremony for them to recognize those that have fought and won or have fought and lost their battle. And it's quite breathtaking because they now have enough bags that they go around the reflecting pool in front of the Lincoln Memorial. And so it is quite a sight. And, yes. You know, if you can support, if you want to donate a bag in the memory of someone that you know, head to the website here, scrolling on the bottom, actions.fightcancer.org/go-to/MI Lights of Hope, all one word, again, scrolling down on the bottom of the screen. So, be sure to check that out. We also have a fun, unique opportunity for volunteers mm-hmm. this summer, which is really new, isn't it, Ashley?
It is. So, like we all know collectively, the conversation around diversity, equity, and inclusion has really, emerged again. It should have been a conversation ongoing mm-hmm. in this country, but it really has come to the forefront within the events of the last year. And our team, we have a DE&I committee that is really committed to bringing this discussion to the forefront of most things that we do here in the state. And so in order to kind of move us forward in understanding and learning and educating ourselves on some of the priorities within, diversity, equity, inclusion, this committee has opted to do a summer book club.
Oh, very cool.
Yes. So again, Andrew's going to get it scrolling on the bottom of where to register. But basically June 23rd, so there's still time. June 23rd is when we're going to have just a book discussion. So it's read at your own pace. We're reading the book White Fragility.
Okay.
You can grab your copy. There is a reading guide that you will receive so you can kind of follow along and ponder some of the questions after each chapter, but also you can just go ahead and read at your own pace. So if you're late to this, it's not a big deal. And then join us in the discussion that's just going to happen on a Teams meeting as our volunteers and the DE&I committee is able to kind of facilitate some good conversation so that we're unified as a team going forward.
Yeah. No, it sounds like a really cool opportunity. If you're interested, again, we have stuff scrolling down on the bottom of the screen. Head to fightcancer.org/actions/ summer-book-club-register-today. There's a lot of dashes in there. But again, go ahead, fightcancer.org/action/summer-book-register-club.
And if we need to simplify it a little bit, you can go to just fightcancer.org/MI, and it is the number one action on our site.
I was going to say that, or head to our website, fightcancer.org/MI, to get all the information that we've talked about today.
Or follow us on our social media platforms, and you will also see a link directly to registration. You know how I always like to plug those social platforms.
That's right. That's right. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We're on all of it. So feel free to follow us there to get information. One other thing I did want to mention, I was going to talk about it in our state update a little bit, but
we're going to have some grassroots activity over the summer around oral chemo. And so there's this coalition that has really come together that is focusing on ensuring that the message gets out there and that oral chemo continues to stay in the forefront mm-hmm. of lawmakers' minds. And so, you know, for those that are interested in the issue and want to stay active, you know, I just say continue to follow us on our social media platforms. Continue to follow us here on the Canada Connection because we'll be talking about that. But also head to our socials too, you know, Facebook, yeah. Twitter, Instagram, and we'll be sharing either results from some of those actions. And so, you know, we're always looking for photos. Take some photos, send them in, we'll put them up. Or we're going to be throwing information and asks out mm-hmm. on some of the social media platforms. So be on the lookout for that. So, well, before we head into our conversation here, which we're really excited about, we have some news that is very sad, but also very exciting and happy at the same time. And that we say goodbye to our friend Ashley Wakefield, as this will be her last episode here on the Canada Connection. Maybe she'll join us back. But she is on her way off to a bright new start. And with a great organization. And so we're just super, super excited for you, and this opportunity. And, you know, we just want to wish you the very best.
Thank you. I appreciate that. This organization, this team, this podcast, all the things that we have learned mm-hmm. and grown through in the last year. My tenure here has only been about a year and a half, but boy, was it a year and a half.
Oh my gosh, yes.
And I'm so grateful for, you know, all of those lessons that we've learned along the way, and especially to our podcast listeners, you know, that you've stuck with us and mm-hmm. trusted us to give you the information as it pertains to Michigan and federal.
Yeah.
Happenings. And so, Andrew, it has been a pleasure to be part of the Candid Connection podcast.
Well, and we've appreciated it as well. And so, you know, one of the jobs that I have here in Michigan is that I had to let all the staff know here. Mm-hmm. And as I was putting the email together, I was really thinking about the things that the year and a half has been so compacted.
Yes.
That the things that you've done in your position have moved us light years ahead in terms of where we're at, and all while not attending a single day at the Capitol.
I know you're outing me on that. You're outing me that. No, we have, you know, here's what I will say is I came in and my slogan was, I'm too new to know what I can't do.
Mm-hmm.
And so we brainstormed amongst our volunteer team so many really creative ideas, but I literally cannot take credit for any of it, because had it not been our volunteers and yourself jumping on board with, you know, this crazy lady who has these crazy ideas, we would not have seen the success that we have. So the kudos really goes to our team of volunteers and advocates, which it usually does for us.
Yeah.
You know, truthfully, I think a lot of times we offer the information, we say, hey, here's what you can do, and they just do it.
Yeah, no, I know. It's just amazing to see them just kind of drop everything when we ask them to.
Yep.
And they show up and they do absolutely awesome, unbelievable work. And so.
So one last plug. Please join our volunteer team. Head to MyCancer.org/MI. Seriously, it's a team that I've been honored to be a part of and work with, and will continue to work with the excellence that they have.
Yeah, well, and now you'll change your moniker as well from staff partner
to volunteer.
So,
which is a title I will wear proudly.
Awesome. Well, again, thank you. I look forward to seeing you hopefully in person.
Yes.
In 2022.
That's right.
Down at the Capitol for an actual day at the Capitol. So
looking forward to it.
Coming up here next, we're going to be sitting down and talking to some of our youth that are in our Advocacy Academy, talking about why they wanted to be advocates. get engaged and involved a little bit. But then also we'll be talking about tobacco too. So join us here in just a minute for our conversation with our youth advocates here on the Canada Connection.
ACS Can Michigan is excited to announce its 2021 policy forum, The Faces of Cancer, where we're going to take a look at access issues that cancer patients are facing here in Michigan. Our forum will be on September 30th, 2021, from noon to 1 Eastern, and is a virtual event. We're excited to welcome our keynote speaker as well, Dr. Sabrina Ford from Michigan State University. She's going to share insight on her research and what she's seen in terms of barriers of access for folks here in Michigan. We hope you can join us. Head to fightcancer.org/MIFaces to get more information or register today.
All right. Welcome, everybody, to this portion of the Canada Connection that we love and I personally am so excited for. We are going to be talking to our youth advocates, some of which have gone through our Advocacy Academy or are joining us from our partner, Carmanis. They have a youth advocacy program. So I'm really excited to kick this off as we get their perspective on advocacy. So as they're joining us, what we're going to do, you guys, if you could just quickly introduce us to who you are, where you're from, and really, more importantly, what got you involved in advocacy? What landed you here? So, Divya, we're going to start with you. If you could just share your story in a couple sentences.
Sure. So I'm Divya, and I'm a sophomore at Pioneer High School in Ann Arbor, Michigan. And I first got started off with ACS CAN as an ambassador. And I really did that because I was interested in medicine and how medicine relates to the government, because I know there's a lot of issues there. And I think I got really interested when you actually asked me to actually plan the Advocacy Academy. And so I thought that would be really interesting to sort of interact with other people who are my age about cancer, because that doesn't happen very often. So I think that that really motivated me to help fight cancer.
Yeah, I love that. We had a lot of fun at the Advocacy Academy and you certainly led well. So I'm so glad that you're here to take what you've learned and really share and use it into action. So Bhavani, what about you? What brought you into advocacy?
So I think my advocacy story starts in early summer. I saw a lot of issues that I wanted to get onto and I wanted to see my opinions reflected in the government. And so I decided, because it was an election year, I decided to join a campaign and I worked on their field team, connecting with volunteers who would then phone bank to other Michigan voters. And after that, I got exposed to so many different issues that are current and super important right now to so many different communities. And so right after those campaigns, I started looking for another place where I could voice my opinions and start getting to work on health equity mainly. And once Divya let me know about ACS CAN and our Advocacy Academy, I was super excited to get involved with some health equity concerns and some legislation, especially with people my age.
Yes, man, what an important issue that we all need to be aware of. And hey, if you want to lead the charge, we're here to support. So thanks for joining us. And Ankin, what about you? Where are you joining us from and what got you involved in advocacy?
Yeah, so I'm a senior at the Utica Academy for International Studies in Sterling Heights, Michigan. And my advocacy process started, I'd say, earlier this summer when I was part of the Focus STEM group under Carmanos and Wayne State University. And I also have a passion for medicine, specifically fighting healthcare disparities as well. And that's why I am interested in learning about cancer as well as advocating to prevent it, especially amongst people in our age.
Yeah, certainly. I absolutely love that. And we so appreciate you joining us today and sharing your expertise in the area. And Shakti, what about you? We're so excited that you're here. Tell us where you're joining us from and why you got involved in advocacy.
Hello, everyone. My name is Shakti Vijay, and I'm a sophomore at Pioneer High School in Ann Arbor, Michigan. I got involved in ACS CAN the same way as my sister Payne, and we learned all about the healthcare issues and issues that I wanted to take part in. So once the campaign was over, I really wanted to get involved in something until Divya approached me and she told me about all the cool things that she's been doing, and I immediately wanted to take part. Also, I wasn't really committed to this at first until I was personally affected. One of my friends passed away from cancer. I think it was angiosarcoma. Mm-hmm. He passed away maybe a week before Cancer Action Week. And I think that really motivated my commitment to ACS CAN and also made me just more motivated to fight for cancer legislation to help survivors and patients.
Yeah. Wow. Well, you know, we just applaud you for taking, you know, that experience and that heartbreak and moving it into action and change. And so we're so lucky to have you here. So this is going to be our panel and our crew that are joining us today to talk about. We're going to actually be moving into some tobacco issues and how, you know, their perspective on this issue amongst their peers. And so before we do that, we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsor.
At Carmanis, we specialize in providing cancer care that you can't get anywhere else. Because we're home to one of the largest clinical trials programs in the country, only Carmanis can give you access to more than 250 of the most innovative and promising cancer treatments available. And with locations across Michigan and virtual visits, we offer easy and safe access to the expertise and guidance of your cancer team. We do all of this for one reason, to give you your best chance.
All right. Welcome back. Well, as you can see, we have a new guest joining us. This is Aiden. Aiden is joining us. He is also a, well, I'll let you introduce yourself. Can you tell us a little bit about you? Where are you joining us and where are you from?
So I'm a freshman at Hazlitt High School. My name's Aiden Roberts. I'm 15.
Awesome. Well, we're so glad that you're here to share with us your perspective. But what we're going to do, and I was hoping that you guys could kind of share again in just a couple sentences, there's this emerging issue. It always has been an issue, but there's an emerging problem amongst younger and younger people of using tobacco products. And I think you probably have all seen that or at least been exposed to that. And so we would just love to get your perspective on the use of tobacco amongst your peers, you know, the problem of it and what you see as being one of the biggest problems. So we're just going to jump right into it. Could you just all share, like I said, a few sentences about what you're seeing amongst you? So, Shakti, I'm going to actually jump to you first, if you wouldn't mind.
Yeah, there's certainly a lot of vape use in our school, particularly. I've seen a whole lot of people vape right in front of me. Mm-hmm. And although that's quite shocking, but it's actually really true. Freshmen will smoke and it's quite surprising. But one specific experience that I've been experiencing right now is one time I was in the library just studying and a girl sat behind me and used my chair to charge her dab, she used her chair to hide herself while she charged her dab pen, which is a type of vape that is easily camouflaged amongst students because it looks like a pen and that is really not uncommon in a school setting, right?
Yeah.
So I was definitely in shock, but then I also realized the huge influence that students are under at my school.
Very interesting. Now, coming back to Aiden, can I ask you, have you seen that happen where maybe vape pens or other forms of tobacco, students get kind of tricky at hiding it?
Yeah. So I actually, right before spring break, saw one of my good friends drop their vape, I don't know what kind it was, out of their backpack. And I talked to them about it and they just said that they had no idea what I was talking about. I didn't know that they used it, but where I'm seeing a lot of vape use and stuff is through, I'm seeing it on social media. They're posting pictures of themselves in the school bathrooms vaping with their friends.
Interesting. That is a very insightful point that I think, as I think Andrew and I can speak for ourselves and put us in the old folks category, that I would not have expected putting on social media. So Divya, have you seen or experienced, what have you seen, you know, in your world as it relates to that?
So I've seen a lot of things similar to what everyone else said. So vaping honestly has just become such a common occurrence. Like, it's not even a big deal to people anymore, especially students. Like someone else said, people will just vape in the bathrooms. They'll go in groups into bathroom stalls and vape, and people will go in there and smell the vape. And it's just become a really, really common occurrence. And the school tries to do things to stop it. Like, they'll have assemblies and symposiums where they'll talk about the harmful effects of vaping, but it doesn't seem to have that large of an impact on people who already vape, because they're already really addicted to it. So it doesn't really seem to help.
Yeah, interesting. And Ankin, I know that you mentioned that you're a senior this year. And so I don't know if you have seen that throughout your entire high school, you know, career as far as this use, or if you've seen kind of an emerging problem or a growing problem as you've gone through high school.
No, I feel like there's been a consistent, possibly even a growing use of these e-cigarettes in particular. And I mean, there's really a bunch of reasons why, but one of the reasons that someone mentioned is it looks like a school product, maybe a pen or a USB, like a Juul product looks like. Also, these products are flavored to attract kids in particular due to like the fruity or candy flavors that they come in. And so I feel like those are just some of the reasons why the use of vapes is, I'd say, possibly rising or just consistent.
Yeah. Wow. That's really interesting. And we all have, I think, been on the same page when it comes to, you know, flavors and things of that nature as like an, you know, emerging and a consistent problem when it comes to the access and desire maybe for vaping. But Bhavani, I wanted to just kind of wrap up with you on this. You know, what have you seen to be the reason, or maybe one important reason, why your peers are going this route? Do they think it's safe? Do they think it's just the cool thing to do? You know, what actually attracts someone to that product?
So yeah, that's a great question. I think beyond the flavoring that's like mainly used to attract people my age, definitely seeing older family members do it. I know people that have done it just because their siblings have done it in like college and stuff. And then there's also the fact that it's relatively easy to find. And like I said, many family members have used it. People do find it as something, as a popularity thing, I think. It's just something that once you try once, everyone kind of sticks with it, and it's hard to get away from once you're already addicted to it.
Yeah, certainly. That's a really good point. You know, having people younger and younger become addicted to nicotine products, you know, we don't even know, I don't think, the beginning of where this could lead for effects. So one thing, and Divya, you mentioned this kind of in brief, but you mentioned that they were having some like assemblies of some sort to kind of like talk about the effects of it or the problems with it or the dangers of it. In your opinion, what do you think would be the most effective, or do you have any suggestions for how you think would be the most effective for getting your peers off of tobacco or stopping them from ever starting?
I think that the symposiums that they do at our school may help a few people from not vaping if they've never started yet. But for the people who already vape, since it's really hard to stop, I think that the best thing to do for them would be to get them some like direct help. So someone who can actually help them stop, because once they're hooked, it's really hard for someone to just stop on their own. So getting someone direct help, someone maybe like a trusted adult who can help them, would probably be the best thing, rather than a big assembly. There's like 400 kids in the auditorium. No one's really paying attention. It's not the most efficient way to get the point across, I think.
Sure. And, you know, if it is popular thing to do. It may not be as popular to get help and seek help. So Ankin, I'm wondering if you have any thoughts on this of have you seen any emerging, you know, guidance counselors or anyone in your school that is committed specifically towards helping kids get off of tobacco and vaping products?
Yeah, I'll say in my school, there hasn't been a particular member who is committed to it, but I'd say like across the board, teachers do give us talks on avoiding these things. Also, there's posters hung up, especially in the bathrooms, that are advocating against the use of these vapes.
Sure. Okay. That's really interesting. And Aiden, I kind of want to circle back to you because you are the high school freshman amongst us. And so your input is so valuable. What do you think would help as far as age-wise to start educating and telling, you know, peers or even younger kids about the effects of this? What were you ever exposed to any education younger than just now?
I mean, obviously, as Andy has working for the American Cancer Society for most of my life, as long as I've known him. He's always shown me like the facts about it, and I've tried to spread those on to my friends because they've talked about it, but it just really doesn't take place with them because they don't see the dangers. And like, it, as a freshman, I haven't seen anything besides like posters in the bathrooms about vaping or anything. The last time I heard anything about it was in my seventh grade science class.
Okay.
My school has kind of just avoided the topic because they don't want to really deal with it.
Hmm. Interesting. Or maybe they don't know how necessarily to deal with it. Yeah, no, that's really insightful. And, you know, kudos to those parents who have been tirelessly spreading the news and educating and helping keep everyone together on this. And kind of last question that I'm going to send over to Shakti. I kind of in follow up to that and to what Aiden said, there seems to be this, you know, there's posters and you know, some of those things. Do you have any thoughts on maybe a program that would be more effective?
I think it would be most effective if we got something on a statewide level or at least like wider than just a specific school, because this can be amongst like all of Ann Arbor. This is definitely a problem from what I've seen.
Yep.
I think probably decreasing accessibility is like the number one thing on my list. I feel like a lot of people have access to other contacts who can get them vapes. I specifically, that one girl who started charging her dab pen, turned to me, told me thank you for covering for her and said, would you like one? I can get you a contact. And of course I said no. I was really freaking out underneath. But I was so surprised that it was so easy for her to get a pen to me. So I think that is like the number one thing. We should lower like how accessible it is to students in general, because lowering accessibility to students will probably help tobacco addictions for adults in the future.
Yep.
So that's what I would probably advocate most for.
Yeah, no, what great advice. Well, you guys, I certainly appreciate all of your insights into this important topic. I'm sure that we could have much longer conversation about it, but in the confines of this podcast, what you guys have shared has been so insightful. I know that I learned a few things. I don't know about you, Andrew.
Yeah, no, I did too. I did too. And I think it shows the importance of the work that we continue to do, especially when we look around taxation.
Yeah.
I mean, you talk about making it accessible, right? You know, if it's more expensive, you know, folks may choose to save those bucks and head to, you know, McDonald's or my favorite during the summer, Dairy Queen, and spend the money there rather than getting their cotton candy vape. So,
Yep. Well, you guys, I know I've said it before, but I thank you for taking your time to share your insight. And, you know, if you, just as for other listeners, if you're looking to get involved with these incredible young people, we do have a place for you here with ACS CAN. We're going to be running another advocacy academy in the fall. But also we have a youth committee that really seeks to work on rebranding and working in the space that our youth and young advocates need to be working in, and that it's, you know, pertinent to their experience. And so head to fightcancer.org/MI and feel free to sign up as a volunteer there and join these incredible people. But you guys, thank you again. We're so appreciative.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Well, that does it for June.
Wow.
Thanks for joining us, Aiden. We appreciate you coming in and taking a few minutes with us too today.
No problem.
I appreciate your insight. And so, join us again in July as we're going to be talking about what's going to happen with the budget, also including some oral chemo activities and things that we'll be doing. And we will also have a special guest host. That's right. Mm-hmm. As this will be Ashley's last episode, again, we are so sad to see you go, but we're so excited for the opportunity. And hopefully we can have you on as a guest host in some way, shape, or form.
I'd love it.
In the future. But thanks again for joining us today. We really appreciate it. And we'll see you in July.
Thanks, everybody.